The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Ray is engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's October 4th, 2018. Hope your day's going well. We'll wrap it up tomorrow here on the program, of course, with our Friday Focus interview. Lots to talk about with F.N. Rodriguez, the Pima County recorder. The early ballots will be going out in just a couple of days. Registration will be ending in just a couple of days. So it's a very important time for the upcoming general election. Our live line number 790-2040 if you'd like to join us. In a few days, those early ballots will be going out. And of course, voters in the congressional district number 2 will have a choice between the Republican Leah Marquez Peterson, longtime Hispanic Chamber of Commerce head, and former Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, who joins me now in studio. Ann, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. It's nice to be here. Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to see you as well. And for folks who don't know, Ann Kirkpatrick served as United States Representative from Arizona's 1st Congressional District from 2009 to 2011, then again 2013 to 2017. And she served almost 4 years in the Arizona House of Representatives.
That's right.
And of course, ran for U.S. Senate unsuccessfully against Republican John McCain in the 2016 election. Okay, we're coming down to crunch time, Ann, in this election. What are the issues that you feel are really emerging as kind of, I like to say, the difference makers between you and your opponent?
Yeah, Bill, I have to tell you, everywhere I go, whether it's the grocery store or the gas station or walking into my neighborhood, people come up to me and express their worries, their concerns, their fears, their anxieties. Even last night, I was in line at the grocery store and a woman recognized me and started expressing how concerned she is about the confirmation hearings and what's going on there. And you know, I hear from seniors who are really afraid they're going to lose their Social Security and Medicare. Hear from families who are afraid they're going to lose their health care. Hear from DACA and Dreamers who are afraid they're going to be deported. There's just a lot going on. And I think there are some distinctions that voters should know when they cast their ballot between me and my opponent. She would like to privatize Social Security. And I say, no way. You know, what privatization means is that Wall Street would be in charge of Social Security. Well, we saw what happened in with Wall Street's reckless behavior that led up to the Great Recession. Just imagine if seniors would have lost their Social Security. They count on it. It is not an entitlement. It's an earned benefit. But the wall, you know, a third of our economy here in Southern Arizona comes from Mexico. We don't want a wall. We want to make it easier for people legally to come here, shop, or if they want to move their families here for a better life, make that possible. But we also want to, I'm a former Pima County prosecutor, and I really have zero tolerance for criminal activity. So we have to crack down on the cartels, the drug smuggling, the human trafficking, the sex trafficking. But if we had comprehensive immigration reform, that would free up the Border Patrol to focus on the criminal activity and stop it. You know, I make myself very accessible to my constituents, and my opponent has said she doesn't even know if she's going to do any town halls. She's been very private in her appearances. She had a private forum, kept a reporter out of the room. So I really believe that the representative should represent all the people and be accessible to them. And so that's a big distinction between us.
Your opponent and others associated with the other side, with the Republican side, like to say that you really have no idea, no clue about Southern Arizona, that they call you a carpetbagger.
Yeah, you know, I right out of high school came here, did my undergrad at UA, taught school here in Tucson for a couple of years, went to law school. While I was in law school, I clerked in the Pima County Attorney's Office. I was a law clerk for Barbara Lawal. Got married here, had my first child at Tucson Medical Center, and so have a long, long connection with Tucson. My daughter was a resident at UMC and had two of my grandsons here in Tucson, and so we have a long, long connection here.
Healthcare is a big, huge issue, I think, to people in this district. We have a lot of older folks in CD2, and they are worried about their future.
Yeah, the thing I hear most about healthcare is the high cost of prescription drugs and the lack of choice in the marketplace in many of the counties in Arizona where there's just one insurance carrier. My idea is let's let people buy into Medicare at any age, and that gives them a choice, and it's paid for because they're paying a premium just like they would for an insurance policy.
And you know, you mentioned the wall. One of our contributors to this program is Keith Rosenblum, and Keith was with us a day or so ago on the show, and he was talking about the new president of Mexico, who is really committed to building up the border area, not building it up militarily, but economically.
Yes. Yes, I've heard that about him. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just in Douglas talking with the mayor there and talking about the problem at the port of entry. So I visited Douglas, Nogales, San Luis, and what I would like to do is build up state-of-the-art ports of entry to make it easier for that flow of commerce to happen.
This is a very diverse district, CD2, and you've got the urban areas, and then you have the rural areas. How are the concerns different for the people in, say, Cochise County, Sierra Vista, than they are in Tucson?
They really aren't different. They're still concerned about those things that really affect their pocketbook, and it is Social Security, healthcare, the border, and having access to their representatives. So we have six offices open in the district. We have one in Douglas, one in Sierra Vista, one in Green Valley, and three here in Tucson. Hundreds of volunteers coming in every day, knocking on doors, making phone calls to let people be aware that there is an election coming up.
You think women are energized this time around?
Definitely. So about a year ago, I started visiting some of these neighborhood groups that sprung up after the Women's March, and sprung up, you know, regardless of party. These are people who are neighbors, by and large women who have not been involved in politics before, who are really energized and making a difference.
Let's see if we can get a quick call in here. I think we have Roberta has called in. Then we'll try to get you, Matthew. I know you're calling in right now. I've only got about 2 minutes. Roberta, what is your question for Ann Kirkpatrick?
What is your stand on Medicare for seniors, please?
I really support Medicare for seniors. I don't want it to be privatized. I'm fighting to keep Social Security and Medicare. And I hear from so many people who like their Medicare. They want to keep it. They don't want it to disappear. But they're concerned because after the large Republican tax cut bill was passed, Speaker Ryan mentioned that he would look at Social Security and Medicare as a way to pay for the programs. And that's just wrong.
Let's see if we can get you in, Matthew, calling us at 790-2040. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and this is just quickly, this district, CD2, has a responsibility for, you know, certain areas of issues that affect Tucson. And two that I'd like to bring your attention again, and I know you know these already, is the Cherryvale Postal Distribution Center and also the Nogales Wastewater Fairness Act, which is still an ongoing issue and affects the water all the way down the Santa Cruz Pass Tucson.
Yes.
Hoping you can address regional issues.
Exactly, Matthew. Thank you. And when I was in Congress, I worked on those issues, especially fighting to keep the Cherry Bell office open. And we'll continue to work with the community on those issues.
That's ridiculous that Tucson, Arizona, it does not even have a, when you get a letter stamped, it's not going to say Tucson. With almost a million people in the valley, the letter has to go up to Phoenix. That's a pet peeve of mine. Go ahead with Nogales.
Yes, that wastewater treatment plant is critical for that community. And I want to work with Nogales to get the funding to make that happen. You know, wastewater treatment plants are very expensive, and these small towns really have difficulty doing it without some help from the federal government.
All right, Ann Kirkpatrick, where can people find out more about your campaign? On the website?
Yes, they can go to my website, which is kirkpatrickforcongress.com. You'll see our phone number there. I'll give it to folks, though. We'd love to hear from you. It's 520-207-6298. Give us a call. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Good
to
see you.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of our program is brought to all of us by my favorite bakery in town. I love bakery goods. Mona's Danish Bakery is home.
Oh, I love Mona's,
see,
too.
This is what happens.
Yes.
I know,
yes.
Steve is listening, the owner. These are these unsolicited
the best
endorsements
cinnamon
that we
rolls,
get here.
The best cinnamon rolls.
There you go, Steve. Best cinnamon rolls, so says Ann Kirkpatrick. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve is the owner. He gets up so early with his team of bakers, and he encourages everybody, go by right now. If you're anywhere near that area, have lunch. The sandwich, the bread, oh my goodness, came out of the oven just a few hours ago. Very fresh. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our great partners. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez. Joining me on the roundtable, Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business has Weekend Watch. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. Coming up to 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show in just a few seconds. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. There's a lot to do, and it's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Lots to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, or why not a visit to the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You can go to, and I do suggest this is a good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org, and there you find the complete listing of places to stay, and there's some really nice places to stay, and all sorts of recreation ideas for your upcoming trip to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Once a month, we welcome one of our 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show, our contributor on science. He's a good one. Dr. David Levy, he's the former science editor of Parade magazine. He's now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. He's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23. So we're hoping that he can soon get that 24th. So in my intro, I can just say he has 24 comets to his credit. Let's welcome now Dr. David Levy. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. And how are you, Dr. Buckmaster?
Yeah, I wish. No, yeah. Didn't get to the doctor. Did get a master's degree, but not to the doctoral level. David, the last time you were with us in your September visit, you had talked about a surgery, and some of our listeners were very concerned.
Yeah.
Can you give us an update?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm not in any pain anymore, but I am in some discomfort, and so I sometimes walk with a cane and sometimes not. But generally, I'm doing well. But the real thing I wanted to do today, I forgot to put in when you asked me what the topics would be. And I totally forgot, but I've remembered now. Today is October the 4th, 61 years ago today, the space age was born.
Wow.
With the launching of the Sputnik 1 satellite by the Soviet Union, now the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened 61 years ago today. It could be seen in the sky if you knew where to look. And it was really pretty exciting. I remember walking home from school, and a friend of mine saying, "Did you hear that the Russians launched a small satellite into space?" And I was so excited, I was jumping up and down. And I got home to tell my parents, and they knew about it, but they were not happy because they saw it as most adults see it, as a military thing.
Yeah, military. Grab some water there. Do you have some?
Yeah, I got some.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. Take a deep swig of water there.
Swig of water.
Yeah.
Swig of beer?
No.
No.
So people were worried, weren't they? It was the whole Cold War happening.
Yeah, that was right in the middle of the Cold War, and I didn't see it that way. I saw it as a scientific thing. The U.S. and the Soviet Union are going to be studying the night sky. This was before my interest in astronomy, but I realized that. And even though I was extraordinarily naive, I still think I was right.
Yeah. How about this? It's meteor shower time. This is a pretty good one, right?
Yes. There's a good one coming later this month. It's called the Orionids. It's coming on the 21st of October. And I will be out for at least an hour one of the nights looking for shooting stars from Halley's Comet. These are little specks of dust from Halley's Comet that interact with our atmosphere every year. There are two showers from Halley's. One is the Eta Aquarius in the spring. The other is the Orionids coming up in October, and we're almost ready for them. Shortly after that, there will be the Taurid meteors, which will be in November, early November, and I'm really looking forward to those because you can get very, very bright fireballs from the Taurid meteor shower.
This is also a very good time of year for folks that observe the night sky because the nights are getting longer and cooler.
Finally.
Yeah.
Do you believe it? We're right now outside. It's like 80-something degrees.
Mm-hmm.
We can easily walk outside without passing out after 2 seconds, and it's kind of nice that the fall is coming, but it was a good summer.
How about the David Levy quote of the month?
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow for Montreal. I'm leaving tomorrow for Montreal for the unveiling of my mom's tombstone.
Oh.
And I know that I've said this one before, but I think it's appropriate for today. It's written by Sevilla D. Martin.
Are you ready there?
I think so. And okay. It's called His Eye is on the Sparrow. And it's very good, but it wasn't quite what I wanted, so I rewrote it. And now it's called My Eye is on the Sky. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs... Hold on. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw closer to the sky. From care it sets me free. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me.
Very nice. David, I hope you have a great trip up to Montreal. It's the perfect time of year to be up in Quebec.
We'll be
back
on Wednesday.
The autumn leaves will be getting ready to peak. I know that. I have some
full fall foliage, yes, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I have some friends that go up to Algonquin Park every year, and they send
and you've been there, too.
I have, and it's the best leaf peeping anywhere in North America is right there in Algonquin. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Color is great this year, too, everybody's saying. Last year was not good because it was kind of dry, but everybody's saying this is a great year up in eastern Canada for the leaves. So you have a great time.
I think it is.
Yep.
I think it is, and it's good to be able to see that in Canada and in the northeastern United States.
Okay, David, take care of yourself.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
See you next month.
All right. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. Up next, Steve Gaynor. Mr. Gaynor is the Republican candidate for Arizona's second highest office, Secretary of State. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs, and who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? You look familiar.
That's right, I'm Sheriff Napier.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Hey, you're Ken Flower. Aren't you wanted?
I'm speechless.
That's right, everybody wants Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, you can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental just west of Alvernon on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
At Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, you can landscape it, light it, floor it or store it, open it, close it, snooze it or choose it. Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, October 5th, 6th, and 7th, with free TCC parking. Brought to you by Kinetico, Long Realty, Mattress Firm, and Russet Southwest Corporation Heating and Air Conditioning. Discount coupons at sabahomeshow.com. It's Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, the best home show ever built.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the second half of our noontime hour with you. Green things, our favorite place to get all those beautiful green things, our favorite nursery in town, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green things now a whole lot more than a nursery now on their 13 acres because they have opened Zocalo Village, which is basically five shops. All specializing in great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. There's a pre-grand opening event now through November the 15th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily over at Green Things. And stop by, check out the five shops, and then stay for the complimentary wine bar. Again, Green Things, good starting place. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. Let's go now on the live line and speak with the Republican Secretary of State candidate. He is Steve Gaynor. Yesterday we talked with his opponent, the Democrat State Senator Katie Hobbs, and today it's Mr. Gaynor's turn. Steve, how are you, sir?
Great. How are you?
Doing real well. How would you characterize how the campaign is going for you?
I think it's going well. I did well in the primary, and I think now in talking to independents and some Democrats, I think people like the idea of a non-politician going into the office and fixing what's wrong.
Well, Senator Hobbs was saying basically you're a millionaire who's kind of buying his way into office, who doesn't really have the background that's needed for this job. What do you say to her?
I say that's hilarious because somebody from the outside just dumped $2.6 million in her campaign. My guess is it's Tom Steyer out of California. I really don't know. But as far as buying the campaign, whoever did what they did in the last few days in her campaign would be more rightly characterized as trying to buy it.
Tell me about, and tell our listeners about your particular background and your business background.
Right. Well, I've been in Arizona for 37 years, been in business all that time. I've been in the printing business for about 30 years. At one point, had a plant in Phoenix, Denver, and L.A. Now I'm just in L.A. I sold the other two plants. My printing background is really a good basis for dealing with elections. There's a lot of printing and elections, document security. I actually was used as an expert by the FBI in document security issues. I have a long background in information technology, something that my opponent doesn't have, and that's a real failing in the Secretary of State's office right now. So in general, I think my business background is really what the Secretary of State's office needs. It's an organization that hasn't done well. It needs to be turned around, and I've done that before several times.
People want to make sure that when they cast a vote that it's going to be secure. And is that going to be a top priority if you are elected Secretary of State?
Yes, absolutely. We do have some weaknesses in our procedures. Something that I've already started talking to county recorders and election directors about. The state can help in a number of ways, and yes, it's something I'll pay attention to.
How do we make sure that hackers can't get into the Secretary of State's database? How can we have some assurance there that if you are elected that we will have a real safe system?
Yeah, well, cybersecurity is not just one answer because there are multiple paths in. We have counties in our state that are very small, kind of underfunded. That's a pathway in. If I were a hacker, I think that's the first place I'd start because all the county computers talk to the state. And then there's the state itself. There are all the users. We have to secure every path in. And then, in my experience and what I do in my own business, I have a separate server that's isolated from the internet that serves as a backup so that in case something is compromised, you have fresh data that you can restore from. So cybersecurity is complex. There's not just one answer. There are a lot of things that need to be done.
We're speaking with Steve Gaynor, Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Steve, what happens to the business if you are elected?
Oh, to the business,
yeah.
I own today?
Yeah, your business.
Yeah, I don't run the business.
Okay.
It's in L.A. I'm the chairman of the board. There's a president who runs the business on a day-to-day basis. And as a matter of fact, not that we do now, we don't, but I would not allow that business in L.A. to do any printing for Arizona. So there wouldn't be any conflict of interest.
Just had a call, and the caller did not want to go on the air, but it's actually a question that I was going to ask next. So great minds think alike, right? Are you prepared, Steve Gaynor, to take over as governor if need be? Because, after all, Secretary of State is not only the chief elections officer, but is effectively the lieutenant governor.
Yes. And the answer is yes. I am prepared. If you haven't been a governor, I suppose, it's not something that you are fully prepared, anyone is. But with my long executive experience, I can step into an executive position, which is what the governor's office is, deal with the problems. You know, to me, the first order of business is to make sure that the private sector functions well, because the private sector is what provides the revenue for the state in order to provide its services and what provides a living for everybody in the state. So private sector and all the issues that go with it. I've been here a long time. All three of my kids have gone through Arizona schools from kindergarten through college. So living here for this long and experiencing what I have, I do have a background in some other areas like medicine I have breadth of knowledge in other areas that bear on public policy, I'd be able to do the job.
Is illegal voting an issue in this state, do you think, Steve Gaynor?
It is an issue. And it's not something that we know as much about as we should. I don't know if you followed the whole issue with the consent decree that Michelle Reagan signed back in June. But under Arizona law, when people register with the Arizona state form, if they didn't show documentary proof of citizenship, the application would be denied. That consent decree she filed overturned Arizona law, so now when people register with the state form, they're registered as a what's called a Fed-only voter. Right now in the state, we have somewhere between 7 and 10,000 Fed-only voters. These are people who get a ballot with only President, Senate, and Congress on it, and the rest is blank. Most people don't know that, don't realize that we have 10,000 people who've never shown proof of citizenship, but with this consent decree, if it's allowed to stand, I think we'll have as many as 100,000 of these folks. I don't know, of the 10,000 we have now, how many, for whatever reason, just decided that they didn't want to show proof of citizenship or if they're actually here illegally. But since I've been running for office, I've had a fair number of people contact me through the website saying things like, you know, my ex-husband was here illegally and he voted.
Hmm.
So there's more out there than I think some people suspect. How big a problem it is, I don't know, because it hasn't really been investigated.
When you've been talking to people, are you surprised how few really understand what the Secretary of State does?
Yes, very few people do. It's kind of an obscure area, and a lot of people don't understand also that it is a lieutenant governor.
All right, Steve Gaynor, thank you very much. What about your website? Where would you like to direct my listeners to?
Yes, it's www.gaynorforsos.com, gaynorforsos.com. If you'd like to help push against the folks who just put $2.6 million into my opponent's war chest, I would be happy for the contributions.
Steve Gaynor, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle. Thanksgiving's coming up before you know it, and the holidays. So, my goodness, Mona's is the perfect place for all of your dinner rolls. What about dessert? The pumpkin pie, the cherry pie. Steve, the owner, does a great job with his bakers with their pies. So we're getting into the holiday spirit up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can find out more about Mona's Danish Bakery by going to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our great partners here on the Buckmaster Show. Attorney Don Luce with me next. We'll break down all of the key propositions on the Arizona ballot.
At Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, you can landscape it, light it, floor it or store it, open it, close it, snooze it or choose it. Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, October 5th, 6th, and 7th, with free TCC parking. Brought to you by Kinetico, Long Realty, Mattress Firm, and Russet Southwest Corporation Heating and Air Conditioning. Discount coupons at sabahomeshow.com. It's Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, the best home show ever built.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1246. Don Luce is with us, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law, whose offices are here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. Don is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that book now in its second printing, and soon to be in its second printing, really any day now, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks.
This is an exciting time of year. We're just now weeks away from our general election and only days away from, as they say, the early ballots being dropped into the mail and then soon arriving in our homes. The propositions are a bit confusing to people. What is this? How does it all work? How does a proposition get on the ballot?
There are a number of ways that a proposition can find its way to the November ballot. So essentially, there are four different series of propositions. So if you look at the numbers of the propositions, you'll see that they're all three digits. You have in this election, Proposition 125, 126, and 127. So those are 100 series. And those are proposed constitutional amendments, whether initiated by the people or referred by the legislature. And then this election, we also have two propositions that are in the 300 series, and those are 305 and 306, and those are legislative referrals to create new laws or to amend current laws. We do not have any in the 200 series, which are citizen initiatives to create new laws or amend current laws. And then in the 400 series, which is local ballot measures, I know we have at least one. So mm-hmm. That's sort of your quick guide to how you figure out out where a proposition came from. You look at the number.
Is it unusual not to have any in the 200 series?
Normally, you see propositions in the 200 series. What I noted about this election is that there are actually fewer propositions than you would normally see on a ballot. Now, several propositions are not on the ballot because of successful court challenges. There were more propositions proposed than are actually on November's ballot, but you know, we still have five propositions to vote on.
Let's get into some of those. Well, let's actually just go through the props in the order that they will be appearing on the ballot. Proposition 125 amends the Arizona Constitution. In what way?
Okay, so this is a very technical, specific amendment. It creates an exception to the current prohibition against diminishing or impairing public retirement system benefits. So under the Constitution, a public retirement system's benefit plan cannot be changed by impairing it or diminishing it. Under this proposition, there will be two exceptions. One is to the corrections officer retirement plan, and one is to the elected official's retirement plan. If 125 passes, then it would replace the current permanent benefit increase with essentially a cost of living adjustment for both of those plans. And the cost of living adjustment for both plans would be based on the average annual percentage change in the Metro Phoenix Mesa Consumer Price Index.
That's kind of getting into the weeds.
It really is.
For the average voter, they've really got to do their homework on that one.
Agreed.
Yeah. Proposition 126, that does what?
Okay, 126 is a sales tax prohibition. It would amend the Constitution of the state of Arizona to prohibit Arizona or any city, town, county, or other political subdivision from imposing any new or increasing any existing transaction-based fee, tax, or assessment. So essentially, sales tax on services. Any service performed in this state which is not currently taxed would in the future not be taxed based on the performance of that service. Of course, goods are taxed. So when you go to a store and you buy a good, you pay a sales tax. Everyone understands that. Most services rendered in Arizona are not taxed, however. So if you think about when you buy or sell a house and there's a real estate commission, that's essentially a service fee. That is not taxed. CPAs, they don't tax their clients. Attorneys don't tax their clients. Doctors don't tax their patients. So most service providers in Arizona do not collect or remit sales tax, and under Prop 126, it would be permanently prohibited.
That's an interesting one. 127 is getting a lot of publicity. This involves utilities.
127 is probably the one that is getting the most airtime. APS, which is the state's largest electrical producer, is opposing 127. There are several groups that are in favor of 127. And what 127 does is it requires by the year 2030 that utility companies that produce electricity and that are regulated by the Arizona Corporation Commission, like APS, produce at least 50% from renewable energy resources. And the proposition itself defines what is and isn't a renewable energy resource. So for instance, energy resources that are replaced rapidly by natural ongoing processes, but do not include nuclear power, so the Palo Verde nuclear generating stations, all of the energy produced from there would not be included in the 50% requirement, does not include natural gas, coal, oil, or municipal solid waste combustion. Or, interestingly, trees that are larger than 12 inches in diameter.
Trees.
Now, if they're less than 12, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Proposition 127 does define eligible renewable energy resources to include solar, water, wind, geothermal, and biomass organic matter resources. So the proposition defines what a renewable energy resource is and what it isn't, and it requires that by the year 2030, at least 50% of electricity produced be from renewable energy resources.
And if the power company or the utility does not fulfill those goals?
All right. So the Arizona legislature recently passed a law that puts the penalty at $5,000 per day for each day that the public utility fails to meet the standard.
Hmm. Some might say that's kind of an escape hatch for the utilities.
Maybe.
All right. This one's also getting, I would say, the second most attention. And this is the proposition, the 305, that is known as the Empowerment Scholarship Proposition.
Right. So note that we've changed the numbers from the 100s to the 300s. And so what that means is that because this is 305, a 300 series proposition, it's a legislative referral. So this refers to Senate Bill 1431 that the legislature has referred to the citizens essentially for a referendum vote. Under the Empowerment Scholarship Account statute, the money is administered by the Arizona Department of Education, and a parent may opt out to remove a student from the public school system and obtain alternative educational services for the student. Now, interestingly, this includes private school education, educational therapies, educational aids, Braille translation services, and tutoring services. So it's very broad. Under the current law, students with disabilities in foster care, living on an Indian reservation, and in some other defined cases, are eligible for the ESA monies. And the student is qualified to essentially obtain alternative educational services. Proposition 305, if it passes, would expand that to include many more students to become eligible for alternative educational services. So, for instance, it would phase in the expansion of the current ESA eligibility requirements so that beginning with the 2020-2021 school year, any student who is eligible to attend kindergarten or who is attending kindergarten through grade 12 in a public school would be eligible to receive an ESA.
Hmm. Okay.
There are some caps, but the bottom line with Proposition 305 is it takes essentially what is now a very well-defined group and it blows it up to a much larger group. Much more money would be directed toward alternative educational services if Proposition 305 passes.
So it really expands the pool, doesn't it?
Greatly.
There's also another in the three series, and this one is 306.
Okay, so 306, a lot like 125, in my opinion, is very specific and targeted to a limited group of voters, although it does have admittedly statewide importance. Under 306, the Citizens Clean Elections Act would be amended. A participating candidate would be prohibited from making a direct or indirect payment from the candidate's campaign account to a political party or to a private tax-exempt organization that is eligible to engage in the activities to influence the outcome of a candidate election.
Hmm. I mean, Clean Elections has been with us for a number of years. This is probably the first change to it, right?
To my knowledge, yeah. Proposition 306 is the first change. And again, it's a legislative referral, and it is intended to change an existing statute.
All right. Thank you, Don Luce. Let's talk a little bit about your updated book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Is that now in its second printing?
The second edition is finished.
Second edition.
The second edition is finished, and it will be out in print after the first of the year.
And what are some of the highlights from that book that you can tell us about? Perhaps some of the changes.
All right. So in 2017, just last year, President Trump signed into law a significant change to the federal estate tax law, which took effect January 1st. Under the change, the exemption amounts for individuals went up to essentially $11 million. So you have a large amount of wealth that can now be transferred from one generation to another without the imposition of estate tax. And the government accounting office looked at how many estates would actually be subject to tax. It's amazingly very few nationally. I don't remember the specific number, but it is a small percentage of all people who die in any given year who will have their estates subject to estate tax.
Mm. So this is one of those things that you really should see an attorney about your estate planning.
Well, yes, and especially because long ago or as short ago as 10 years, the estate tax exemption amount was significantly lower, and so a lot of people created what are known as AB trust so to minimize or avoid the payment of estate tax. In most cases, those old trust agreements are no longer relevant because there's no need to create a separate trust on the death of the first person to die. The estate of the decedent can go directly to the spouse in most cases without having to worry about estate tax.
All right. Don Luce, thank you very much, Don.
Thanks,
Bill. Always a pleasure. Don Luce with us of Luce Law, whose offices are here in Tucson and Phoenix. Don does a great job, and author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers in its second edition, and estate planning in Arizona now in its second edition. Thanks, Don. It's great to see
you. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Michael Medved after this show. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, 6 to 9, then me back tomorrow at 12:04. On behalf of Ray Allen, Don Luce, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.